Okay, let's put some of what we just heard about the shooter into deeper context. Seth Jones is director of the Transnational Threats Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He joins us now. And Seth, before the shooting, the suspect put out a 74-page document that outlined his extreme beliefs. What are you taking away from that?
Well, it does appear that the individual and possibly broader network was motivated, at least in part, by white nationalism. This appears to be part of a growing trend we're seeing in North America, Europe, and other places, and it has triggered higher levels of violence across now multiple continents.
Well, in fact, other terror experts are saying that they're seeing themes in his writing that are reminiscent of other killers, like the man who murdered 69 people at a summer camp outside of Oslo a few years back. In fact, it seems like they are inspiring one another.
Well, actually, even this particular attack itself seems to be at least partly inspired by an attack we saw in the UK where Darren Osborne conducted a terrorist attack. He's a white nationalist in the UK against a mosque outside of London. And it was also inspired by this sort of white nationalist vision, a concern about a rising tide of immigration. I mean, themes we're starting to see now on multiple continents and multiple countries.
And so from a counterterrorism perspective, what are we to do about that? Because these cases get such publicity, and being inspired by them in some ways, if you want to be, is simple in a way.
Well, one of the issues that I think a number of different law enforcement agencies need to start doing is focusing on the far right threat. There has been such a focus over the past two decades on religious extremists, particularly Islamic extremists, that the number of plots and attacks in countries like the United States, and now we see in New Zealand, from far right extremists is starting to catch up, which means focusing resources on penetrating these groups, keeping an eye on what they're writing about, and so broader committed to resources and time in dealing with what is clearly now a growing problem.
Do you think that some of the references in this document were designed in a way to catch fire and to help spread the message across the globe? For instance, President Trump's name was invoked. Now, the president has come out very strongly and condemned these attacks. He's offered as much help as needed for New Zealand. But does it feel like a strategy to you just by using his name?
There's no question that we're seeing a number of different far-right extremist groups invoke similar themes. Some of the Rise Above movement, which is a white supremacist group based out of California, called themselves Trumpenkriegers, that is, fighters for Trump. So they have used various themes. They've used them on social media. So I think part of what we're seeing with attacks in North America, in Europe, and now in New Zealand is people attempting to inspire additional attacks using social media and violent acts like this as their instruments for doing it.
What questions do you still have that are unanswered?
Well, certainly one of them is how active were individuals from these networks on social media? How much, if any, information did New Zealand or other intelligence services have on them? And why are people like this getting through broader law enforcement and intelligence nets? If they were on no one's radar screen, there's a collective responsibility to focus on these kinds of violent actors.
And police have said that he apparently was not on any watch lists. Seth Jones, director of the Transnational Threats Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Peter.